Iha ha, iha ha, hepo hirnata. Ihana, ihana, onhan ratsasta. Yokse hepo hilia, kana pikusilia, kana kotin saka, kevut kalis taka. Iha ha, iha ha, hepo hirnata. Ihana, ihana, onhan ratsasta. Oh, ihana, ihana, minä olen niin ihana. Ai ja uudelleen, uudelleen. Oh, oh, kaunis, kaunis, minä olen niin kaunis. Oho, oho, sana, sana, sinä olet kuningattaa, sana, sinä olet niin kaunis. Oh, oh, niin kaunis, oho, uudelleen. Joo, 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 oh, mä oon niin kaunis, joo, joo, no niin. Hei, hei, hei! Ja tervetuloa tänä jaksoon Rimakas harha opiseen. Ja tänään minä haluan keskustella teidän uusi pääministeri, neiti Sanna Marin. Ja totta kai suurin osa minun katsojasta eivät ole suomalaisia. So, jos on ok teidän kanssa, mä pidän mieluummin tehdä tämä episodi englanniksi. Mutta minä lupan, että pian mä ahioitunut tehdä yksi episodi vain suomeksi, mutta ei tänään. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. And something rather interesting has happened in Finland of late, and that is that the 34-year-old mother of one, Sanna Marin, has been appointed, after a kind of internal coup within the Social Democratic Party, has been appointed the Prime Minister of Finland. And this, of course, is big international news because she's young and she is pretty. And consequently, the Mail Online have dedicated an entire page, an entire big article, simply to lots of photographs of her emphasising how pretty and good-looking she is, which rather undermines the whole feminism dimension to this, but never mind. And also various other newspapers have been reporting what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing it is that this young girl has been appointed the Finnish Prime Minister. So what I want to do today is try... She's actually very, very interesting, you see. And so what I want to try to do today is understand more about the psychology of Sanna Marin, because this seems to have been suppressed. No one seems to be talking about this, and it's actually rather interesting. Now, first of all, the way she has been portrayed in the British newspapers is as the Prime Minister of the Instagram generation. This is a woman, in essence, who's pretty and knows she is. And consequently, she seems to spend a great deal of time taking photographs of herself and putting them on the internet via this website known as Instagram, where people take photographs and share them. That she very specifically shares photographs of herself. We have photographs of her breastfeeding with part of her boob showing. We have photographs of her lying on a sun lounger with her bare legs up in the air, holding an Agatha Christie book to demonstrate how international she is by reading a foreign book, but also how nice her legs are. We have lots of photographs of her with her husband dressed in nice and slightly revealing clothes, and so on. This is a person who likes taking lots of selfies and putting them on Instagram. Now, I will, of course, reference all of the studies that I refer to below the video. There is good evidence that taking lots of selfies and sticking them on things like Instagram is a correlate of narcissism. And consequently, this kind of behaviour would imply that Sanna Marin may well have aspects of narcissism. Narcissism is characterised by grandiosity, that is thinking you're brilliant, a fixation on power and attractiveness, and she obviously has a fixation on power to have got this far this young. At the age of 27, she was running Tampere Council in southern Finland, and now at the age of 34, she's Prime Minister of the entire country. She's clearly also very focused on attractiveness, thinks she's attractive, knows she's attractive, and takes lots of photographs of herself in that regard. A perception of superiority, a constant need for admiration, as is implied by constantly taking selfies of herself and publishing them, a sense of entitlement, a lack of empathy for sort of ordinary people, being rather pompous and arrogant, being envious and regarding others as envious of her, and also being exploitative. I have no evidence that she's exploitative or envious or whatever. She does seem, if you see her speak as in Finnish, as I have done, she does seem rather pompous. The way of speaking it would be something like, OK, everybody, and now I'd like to move on to this. And there's this kind of faux authoritative way of talking. But most obvious about this is the grandiosity, the sense that she's something wonderful and something brilliant and something beautiful and therefore wants to share lots of photographs of herself. So I would suggest that this would be consistent with narcissism. Moreover, the very fact of going into politics at all has been shown to be associated with narcissism. It could be argued that you've got to have very high self-esteem, you've got to think you're rather brilliant to go into politics at a very young age, particularly at a very young age. It's more likely, if you're not narcissistic, you're going to go into politics because you're asked to, because people say you should do that. And if people say, well, you should do that, then you're likely to be older and more experienced, and people are therefore going to say, oh, wait, it's a jolly good idea, you should go into politics. If you're younger when you go into politics, it's more likely a matter of ambition, a matter of desire, a matter of thinking that you're fantastic and you should go into politics. And that's obviously the case with her. And particularly in Finland, you have to fund your own campaign. It's like in America, you have to fund your own campaign, you have to compete against other people within your own party. It really is a very kind of self-entitled thing to do, to go into politics in this country. So this would imply that she perhaps has aspects of narcissistic personality. Another issue is her genetics. Now, remember, the heritability of narcissistic personality is about 0.7. It's very high. It tends to run in families. People that have narcissistic parents tend to have narcissistic children for genetic reasons. So looking at her genetics is very, very interesting. And this isn't something that's actually been discussed much in the international... It hasn't been discussed at all in the English language media. So let's look at who she is. Sanna Marin was born in 1985 to a father who was an alcoholic. When she was a few years old, her parents broke up, and it was so difficult this breakup was so difficult and so problematic that she was put into a children's home for a while until her mother got back on her feet and then took her back out of the children's home. Now, alcoholism, one of the things that predicts alcoholism or is associated with alcoholism is narcissistic personality disorder, because there is a degree to which alcoholism involves not caring about other people. It involves doing whatever you want. It involves a complete lack of concern for other people, a complete lack of empathy for other people. That you keep drinking and keep drinking. Of course, it's pleasurable to drink, but you keep drinking and keep drinking until you become addicted to alcohol. And then even then, you go on these binges and you keep drinking, and you know that the consequences are going to be awful for your family. You're going to go home in rages and beat them up, and you're going to get in trouble with the law, and you're going to lose lots of money and whatever. But you have such a lack of empathy that you just do whatever you like. You don't care about other people, and if you want to drink, you will drink, and you drink more and more, and eventually you become an alcoholic. So you can see how alcoholism is associated with narcissistic personality disorder, and indeed it is. Alcoholism is somewhere in the region of 0.5 heritable, but narcissism very strongly heritable, about 0.7 heritable, and it is associated with alcoholism, and Sanna's father was an alcoholic. Turning to Sanna's mother, after Sanna's parents split up and Sanna's mother took her back out of the children's home, she got into a relationship with a lesbian. And that is what Sanna was brought up by. Sanna was brought up by two female parents. Now, there was an interesting study which found Sally's mother therefore can presumably be regarded as bisexual. We had to remember that the heritability of female sexuality is very, very low. It's about 0.2. And that there is a clear distinction in female sexuality between the femmes and the doms. The femmes are the ones that are basically bisexual, and they will become lesbian for strongly environmental reasons, such as not being able to get a man that they want, or what's called alloparenting, i.e. that there's some benefit to finding a woman who'll help them parent their child, and therefore, from an evolutionary perspective, the desire for alloparenting and the ability for alloparenting to work would work better if they could bond heavily with the other parent and thus be sexually attracted to them and thus be lesbians. And so this is probably where Sala's mother's sexuality comes from. One imagines that Sala's other mother, or Sala's stepmother, whatever you want to call it, is probably a more congenital lesbian, who is more butch and more masculine and more really like a man. And that's what attracted Sala's mother to that person. But even so, what was found was that bisexuality, again, is associated with narcissism. Why would bisexuality be associated with narcissism? Well, presumably there is a degree to which people who are bisexual are basically highly experimental and will kind of just do whatever they want and whatever they feel like and pursue whatever they so desire, in a context in which society might regard it as problematic, particularly in the 1980s. And so consequently, you can see why there would be an association with bisexuality. It would be an idea of I'm myself, and I would experiment with whatever I want to. A sense, therefore, of entitlement, which would be consistent with narcissistic personality. Lesbianism, now this includes both the femmes and the doms, lesbianism is associated with high self-esteem, which is an aspect of narcissistic personality as well. I don't know quite why lesbianism would be associated with high self-esteem. It's very interesting. Homosexuality is associated with low self-esteem, with suicidal tendencies and with depression. Lesbianism appears to be quite the opposite. It's associated with high self-esteem. Again, I don't know why that would be, but it is. So this again gives you, from a genetic perspective, this narcissistic dimension to Sanna Marin, both from her mother and from her father, and that would be consistent with her narcissistic behaviour, her use of selfies, Instagram, and so on. Another aspect of her which implies this narcissism is her low religiousness. 70% of people in Finland are paid-up members of the Lutheran Church, and it's a significant dimension to national identity in this country. It's a significant dimension to being Finnish, that Finns are Lutheran and they are members of the Lutheran Church. It's a huge dimension to life. But she isn't. Sanna Marin is not a member of the Lutheran Church. And we've seen in other videos what are the correlates of being religious. Even in non-religious societies, they are agreeableness, that is to say high altruism and empathy. They are conscientiousness, that is to say high impulse control and rule following. They are low neuroticism, that is to say being highly mentally stable. These are the correlates of being religious. And so the correlates of not being religious, of being an atheist, and indeed of being left-wing. It's been shown that this works on a conservative, liberal dimension as well, are quite the opposite of that, i.e. low agreeableness, low conscientiousness, high mental instability. In other words, a number of the aspects of narcissistic personality disorder, and indeed also there's a research indicating of psychopathic personality, which heavily crosses over with narcissistic personality in so much as it involves high self-esteem and a lack of empathy and this kind of thing. It heavily crosses over with the other, is associated with being non-religious and also with being left-wing. So the very fact that this woman is involved in the Social Democrat Party would imply perhaps elements of narcissism, and this would be further implied by the fact that she is not a member of the Lutheran Church. And many of people, of course, in this country who are Social Democrat, who are left-wing, are members of the Lutheran Church, but she's not. So this shows you another aspect of her, or implies another aspect of her narcissism. What's also very interesting about her is the nature of her background. And this puts me in mind, perhaps, of the spiteful mutant hypothesis, which I've discussed in so many other videos. This is the idea that under conditions of Darwinian selection, we are under selection for certain traits. We are under selection for intelligence, because they predict fertility under pre-modern conditions. We know that from wills and whatever. We are under selection for social class. Basically, people of high social class tend to pass on their genes more than people of low social class. Social class is predicted by intelligence. It's predicted by personality, particularly general factor of personality, i.e. high conscientiousness, high agreeableness, that kind of thing. And also fertility is predicted by religiousness. We know that. And so we run definitely under selection for religiousness in pre-modern conditions as well. With the Industrial Revolution, you have the rise in better living standards, you have better medicine, you have better inoculations and all this kind of thing. And so, of course, then there's a complete collapse in child mortality. It goes from 40% to 1%. The result is a rise in mutational load in the population, because all the people that had mutations of the body that meant they had a poor immune system would have died out and wouldn't have passed on their genes. The brain is 84% of the genome. The brain correlates, which means that it's a massive target for mutations. So if you have mutations of the body, which you will do, then you're bound to have mutations of the brain. This leads to a rise in maladaptive ways of thinking, in ways of thinking that wouldn't have helped you to survive under pre-modern conditions. An example of that is atheism. Atheism is associated with all kinds of positive things. In an evolutionary sense, it's associated with fertility, it's associated with health, physical health, it's associated with mental health, seemingly at a genetic level. It's associated with better dealing with stress and better recovering from illness. It hits in at times of stress, and therefore it's likely evolved. It's an instinct. There are specific parts of the brains associated with it, and those parts of the brain also make you more ethnocentric. And we know from computer models that ethnocentric societies are more likely to survive in the battle of group selection. So it's definitely been selected for. Now, what this means, of course, is that if you have maladaptive ideas and maladaptive ways of thinking, then this is going to be correlated with maladaptive physical dimensions, such as poor health, poor physical health, but also things like an asymmetrical face, not being attractive, because this would imply a high level of mutations in the face, or a poor immune system, meaning you can't maintain a symmetrical phenotype. And we've looked in other videos at the fact that that people who are politically conservative have more symmetrical faces and are better looking than people who are politically liberal. And there's a degree to which conservatism and liberalism crosses over with being religious and being non-religious. So we've got this interesting dimension here. Now, if we look at her background, it's very, very interesting. It seems to be a matter of genetic chance. Finland is a country with which is very, very fair in a lot of ways. It is very. There's not that much in the way of things holding you back. There's no private education or whatever. There's no tuition fees to go to university. There's this generous welfare state. And so, in a way, everything is done to help to create a more equal society, a society which, in which someone that is born poor can become relatively wealthy. They'll be taxed heavily, so they'll never become rich, but they can move up the society if that's what they deserve. And this has been the case for a long time. The consequence of this is that social mobility is quite low here. It's very rare to meet people that in my generation, that have sort of moved up. It's not, in a way that it would be in England, it would be less rare because the social care system was brought in quite a while ago. And in a sense, the movement has happened. And consequently, the movement that was held back by a system that wasn't socialist has now happened. And consequently, you end up with the genetic differences, genetic castes. There's no more movement to occur. The people that are that were intelligent but were held back by poverty moved up. Those that were stupid moved down, and then it just settles to very little movement. That's what you'd expect to happen because of the high heritability of socioeconomic status. About 0.7 is the heritability of socioeconomic status, according to Gregory Clark's research. So it's quite interesting with this woman what's happened. She's the first person in her family to have what she calls uliopolis. That is, she's the first person in her family to go to... They have two kinds of high school in this country, in Finland. They have what they call trade school, that is ammattikoulu, where you go to train to be a plumber or a chef or some sort of skilled working class or lower class job. And then they have what they call... where you become uliopolis. This academic high school where it trains them more towards going to a polytechnic or to university. Now, that is about 40% of children go to this academic high school, and about 60% go to the trade school. For her to be the first person in her family to go to the academic high school is very, very interesting. And why would that be the case? It would be most odd by the early 2000s for that to be the case. Something's going on here. How could it possibly be that she has these in a society as equal as this, that someone with working class parents can just move up like this? Not only did she go to academic high school, she also went to university and was the first person in her family to do that. Now, this is most odd. Now, why would this happen? Well, the likely answer is simply by genetic chance. Normally, people are about the same socioeconomic status as their parents. Socioeconomic status is predicted by intelligence and personality. Personality is at least 0.5 heritable. Intelligence is 0.8 heritable. And so, consequently, there are the social differences between generations of families are very small. But sometimes, just by genetic chance, because of the large number of genes involved in something like intelligence, you can have a child born to very intelligent parents who isn't particularly intelligent, and that person moves down socially. Or you can have a child who is born to not particularly intelligent parents, but who is highly intelligent, and that person moves up socially. And that happens due to unlikely but possible genetic combinations, and of course also due to mutations. That would be the other thing that would help to cause it, positive mutations, mutations that would make a person more intelligent. Now, if that has happened in terms of intelligence, what that would potentially imply, and myself and Bruce Charlton look at this in our book, The Genius Famine, where geniuses tend to be highly intelligent compared to their parents, outliers compared to their parents. So they have parents who are reasonably intelligent, but they are super intelligent. Now, in a context in which the parents were perfectly ordinary people and they had a child that was a genius, what you would expect is some sort of mutational influence making the child fantastically intelligent. And if the child had a mutation that made them fantastically intelligent, then the child would also be likely to have other mutations, and therefore you might expect them to have elevated health problems, or, you know, be physically unattractive, or have mental problems, or whatever. And so this then brings us to Sara Marin. What is going on with her? Well, one possibility is that the reason why she's so different from her parents is because of these unlikely genetic combinations. And if there have been unlikely genetic combinations in one way, there could have been unlikely genetic combinations in other aspects of her as well. And indeed, there could have been mutations, peculiar mutations that wouldn't otherwise be there, which would explain what was going on in terms of her intelligence. And if that was the case, then we should find mutations to other dimensions of her as well. And one of these would then, of course, be the spiteful mutant hypothesis. It would be that she's this outlier. She's this highly intelligent person from a working class background, possibly due to mutation. Therefore, you would expect other mutations to be elevated in her as well in the brain, and therefore you would see that she has these left wing views, which are spiteful to her society, which are maladaptive, which want to basically destroy traditions which are adaptive in evolution, such as religiousness and whatever. So that would start to make sense. And indeed, there is a degree to which this one can possibly see this in her physically. It's very interesting. So she's very, very pretty. She has the typical Finnish body shape. I mean, she's flat-chested and whatever, which is just an adaptation to cold, an adaptation to an ecology which selects very strongly for tightly bound social groups where everyone can trust each other and everyone can get on and everyone's high in agreeableness and high in conscientiousness and whatever. And so lots of bioenergetic energy is put into that and into advertising what your personality is like, because the male's going to have to invest in you, and therefore he wants to know that his investment will pay off and he's not going to be cuckolded because he has to invest in you in order to ensure the children survive in the cold, predictable environment. And so you don't invest energy in secondary sexual characteristics, and so therefore breasts get smaller. She has the typical Finnish sort of look in that way. But she also has attached earlobes, very noticeably so. And attached earlobes are what's called a minor physical abnormality. And minor physical abnormalities tend to correlate with maladaptive dimensions to the mind, particularly criminality and mental instability. And then that, in turn, being mentally unstable, would be consistent, and other such personality disorders, would be consistent with narcissistic personality and with being left-wing. It's just an idea. It's just an idea. But her earlobe attachment is very, very conspicuous. It's a very conspicuous minor physical abnormality. And the only one she seems to have, because otherwise, evidently, she has a very symmetrical face. She's extremely good-looking, which is why so much attention has been drawn to her. But I think that's interesting. It's worth thinking about that she's the first person in her family to be remotely educated. Now, why would that be? Is it just bad luck on the part of all her ancestors for ages and ages and ages? It seems to me more likely that there's some bizarre coincidence involved, and that could be caused by very unlikely gene combinations, but also it could be caused by mutation, making her much more intelligent and diligent and whatever than either of her parents. And if that were the case, then you would expect there to be other mutations, which would explain her maladaptive way she thinks, and would also explain her attached earlobes. So, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then feel free to drop me a few marca or euro on Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon. And by the way, my book, The Rape for Silent Rape Epidemic, Why the Finns Were Groomed with Other Abusers, is being translated into Finnish, so that should be out soon, and that should be of interest to some of you. And I will see you soon. And I would just add, though, that I am slightly worried about this. Finland is in a situation now where, in the governing coalition, there are 5 political parties. They are all led by women. And 4 of those women are in their 30s. And 3 of those women are in their early 30s. The feminist influence this is going to have on Finnish society. I mean, if you look at other videos, the problems that has for academia and for ethnocentrism is very high. And what if they were to menstruate over important state documents? I mean, presumably their menses will sink. What if they were to collectively menstruate over important state documents? It doesn't bear thinking about. But anyway, I will see you soon, and goodbye!